And his word, as I read the Ten Commandments in Leviticus, Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're looking at the Ten Commandments today, in particular, the Ten Commandments in Leviticus. Well, I heard a story about a Jewish man and his wife. They were leaving synagogue. When he told the rabbi, the man told the rabbi that he enjoyed the rabbi's sermon on the Ten Commandments. The rabbi said, well, thank you, but I wish we would see you two more often, you and your wife. To which the man replied, we may not always be here, rabbi, but be assured we keep all of the commandments. I keep five and my wife keeps the other five. So let's look at the Ten Commandments in Leviticus. First of all, by way of introduction, the original Ten Commandments were given to Moses by God on Mount Sinai. Now, if you know the story, the first set of those Ten Commandments, they were written by God on stone and broken by Moses. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 19. In fact, it has been said that Moses is the only person in the world to have broken all the Ten Commandments all at once. Okay? So the first set was written by God on stone, broken by Moses. The second set was written by God and preserved by Moses. You can read about that in Exodus 34 and verse 28. And that is a set that was kept in the Ark of the Covenant. Those stone tablets were kept in the Ark of the Covenant. They traveled around with the children of Israel. Now, keep this in mind. God himself wrote the Ten Commandments. Moses wrote all of God's other commandments. Sometimes people get, they think there's a controversy here. They say, well, it seems like the Bible says that God wrote the Ten Commandments. It seems like it says Moses wrote the Ten Commandments. No, God wrote both sets of the Ten Commandments. Moses wrote all of God's other commandments other than those Ten Commandments. There's no confusion. There's no controversy there. Now, the third set of Ten Commandments is given here in Leviticus chapter 19, and we're going to spend the rest of today looking at that. And the fourth set of the Ten Commandments is given in Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning in verse 7 through verse 21. More about that later. Here's the thing. Living according to the Ten Commandments is holy living. Living according to the Ten Commandments is holy living. Look at verse 2 here of Leviticus 19. It says, speak to the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then he begins to list the Ten Commandments. And so obeying the Ten Commandments, living according to the Ten Commandments is holy living as defined by God. Now, you may recall when we started this look in the book of Leviticus, that holiness is the theme of the book of Leviticus. So as you go through the whole book, holiness is this overriding theme. In fact, the word holy and its cognates are used 152 times in the book of Leviticus. Something else about those original Ten Commandments, you're familiar with them, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and so on. The word thou, I know that's Old English, but thou is a second person singular as opposed to ye. If it had said, ye shall not kill, ye shall not lie, and so on, ye is plural, thou is singular. That is very important because God is a personal God, and God demands personal holiness. So when you read the Ten Commandments, he's speaking to each one of us individually. You're not supposed to kill, you're not supposed to steal, and so on and so forth. Now, you may know also about the Ten Commandments. They are divided nicely into two sections. I'm talking about the original ten. They are divided nicely into two sections. The first four commandments have to do with our vertical relationship with God. It says, have no other gods before me, don't take my name in vain, keep the Sabbath day holy. It's that vertical relationship. The remaining six commandments have to do with our horizontal relationships. Don't kill each other, don't steal from each other, don't lie to each other, and so on. Now, Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments with two commandments. You may remember in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 35, where there was a man came to Jesus one day, and he says, well, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments with two. He says, love God supremely and love your neighbor as yourself. By the way, when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, he was quoting Leviticus 19 and verse 18, which was our text for this morning. He was quoting that. And not only did he quote it, but so did other New Testament writers. In fact, Leviticus 19:18 is the most quoted Old Testament passage in the New Testament. But we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Let me pause and just ask you, do you love yourself? Because you're supposed to love your neighbor like you love yourself, but do you love yourself? You should. You should love yourself. You are specially made by God, and God loves you. And so that means you're worthy of being loved, and so do you love yourself? You should. Not only does God love you, but lots of others love you too. Your parents love you, your grandparents love you, your siblings love you, your cousins love you, your aunts love you, your uncles love you, whatever. You're well loved. So you need to love yourself. And Jesus said we are to love others the way we love ourselves. And not only is Jesus saying, but he's quoting Moses actually out of Leviticus 19:18 when he says that. However, when we look at that, so you got the Ten Commandments, and those boil down to two commandments, love God and love your neighbor. We can boil those down even further into just one word, love. Love. So what is the value of the Ten Commandments today? Is there any value in them? I mean, that's old stuff, right? Like I was telling the children, that's Old Testament stuff. We're New Testament people. Are they even valuable? Yes, they are. The Ten Commandments, first of all, remind us of our Creator God. They were conceived by Him. They were written by Him. They were given by Him. Secondly, those Ten Commandments show us our need for a Savior. No one is living or has ever lived, with the exception of Jesus Christ, who hasn't broken at least one of the Ten Commandments. And James says, James is Jesus' brother, James says, if you break one of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of all of them anyway. Look here at James chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Paul calls the law our schoolmaster here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. He says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And so the whole law, the Old Testament, and the Ten Commandments in particular are there to bring us to Christ. And Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf. He did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And the third value of the Ten Commandments is they provide us an objective, unchanging standard of behavior. The Ten Commandments provide us an objective, unchanging standard of behavior. Without the Ten Commandments, people are left to determine right and wrong individually. And so we're left to determine whether something's right or wrong just because of how we feel about it. So what is right for me might be wrong for you. What is right for you might be wrong for me. This is called moral relativism. If we don't have an objective standard of right and wrong like the Ten Commandments, then it's up to moral relativism. I might think something's right, you might think it's wrong. I might think it's wrong, you might think it's right. People may know it is against the law to do certain things, but without an objective standard, they don't know why. People don't know today what is right and wrong because God's standard of the Ten Commandments is being removed from our society. You ever wonder why atheism, abortion, and adultery can flourish in our nation, supposedly a Christian nation? Because we are removing the objective, unchanging standard of behavior that God commands, which is found in the Ten Commandments. It's been said the real reason the Ten Commandments can't be posted in courthouses is because a hostile work environment is created when you put thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie in a building full of lawyers and politicians. Sorry, any of you that are politicians or lawyers. However, with an objective, unchanging standard of expected behavior, people know what is right and wrong. All you got to do is look at the Ten Commandments and you know right there. It's objective, it's unchanging. This is what God says, this is what He demands. And we know that any violation of the standard is sin against the one who set the standard. And we can learn that the one who set the standard has provided a Savior to keep the standard and to forgive those who violate the standard, and His name is Jesus Christ. So the Ten Commandments provide a permanent record of God's standard of behavior. Are the Ten Commandments still valid today? Are they useful today? Absolutely they are. They are. They remind us of our Creator God. They show us our need for a Savior, and they provide an objective, unchanging standard of behavior. But did you realize this, that the Ten Commandments have historical significance to America's founding? I mean, as a nation, our founding, the Ten Commandments have historical significance to that. James Madison, who is known as the father of the Constitution, here's what he said. We have staked the whole future of American civilization not on the power of government, but upon the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. He was responsible for the Constitution. He says the Constitution is not going to save us. The government's not going to save us. We need to have people that obey this unchanging standard of behavior, the Ten Commandments of God. And by the way, the Ten Commandments are prominently displayed throughout Washington, D.C., the capital of our nation. For instance, at the Supreme Court, you've probably heard of the Supreme Court before, the Ten Commandments are centered under the roof peak. So when you're looking at the building there, right at the very top, I'm going to zoom in for you, there's Moses, and he's holding the Ten Commandments right on the Supreme Court. Not only that, the Ten Commandments are also on the chamber door. So when you go into the judge's chambers, there we see the Ten Commandments. Now, I'll tell you, there's a little bit of controversy about this. People, liberals, argue those aren't the Ten Commandments. They look exactly like Ten Commandments to me. But they say that's not the Ten Commandments. That's the Bill of Rights. That's the first Ten Amendments of the Constitution. Well, I don't think the Constitution was written on those kind of stones. I don't think so at all. It is obvious that that is the Ten Commandments, especially when Moses is right out front at the peak holding that. What about the National Archives holding all the important documents, papers from our nation, including the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and so on? Well, when you walk in the archives like I've done, right there center is the Ten Commandments again in brass, right there emblazoned on the floor. I've walked across those Ten Commandments before. Again, some would say, no, that's the Bill of Rights. It's not. It's the Ten Commandments. And what about the Library of Congress? Right there in the main reading room, Moses, you know what he's holding? The Ten Commandments. Now, I agree with you. He should have put a shirt on, but he didn't. But anyway, he is holding the Ten Commandments. My friends, the Ten Commandments are important to America's founding, along with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. So that's your introduction now. I'm going to start preaching now. That was just the introduction. So let's look, first of all, at repetition. Moses rearranges and repeats 8 of the Ten Commandments here in Leviticus chapter 19. Let's go over them real quickly. Here's the commandments. Verse 3, honor your parents. Verse 4, have no other gods. Verse 4, again, no graven images. Verses 11 and 13, don't steal. Verse 11, don't lie. Verse 12, don't take God's name in vain. Verses 20 and 29, avoid sexual immorality. Verse 30, keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, you might know that the Sabbath day, back when this was written, would have been on Saturday. And, of course, we celebrate the Sabbath. We worship on Sunday. Why is that? The Sabbath was changed the first Easter Sunday, when Jesus rose again from the dead. There's some Greek I could show you in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. We're not going to do that now. But we worship on Sunday to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we follow the example of the early church in the New Testament who gathered to worship as Christians on Sunday. But what about these two missing commandments? I mentioned that Moses rearranges and repeats 8 of the 10. What about those other 2 so-called missing commandments? Well, they are alluded to. In verse 16, do not kill is alluded to, and do not covet is alluded to in verse 18. Speaking of do not kill, there was a Sunday school teacher discussing the 10 commandments with her 5 and 6-year-olds. And after going all over all the commandments, she asked if there's a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters. And one little boy asked, thou shalt not kill? Maybe that's the one. Anyway, the Ten Commandments are repeated here in Leviticus chapter 19. And then, as I mentioned before, the Ten Commandments are repeated again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 7 through 21. Now, that word Deuteronomy, just to give you a real quick lesson, Deutero means second, and Nomos means law. So Deutero, second, Nomos, law, second law. That's why Deuteronomy is called what it is. It is the second law. Moses repeated the law before Israel entered into the promised land. The children of Israel that entered the promised land, this was a new generation. The old generation had died during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So Moses says, I'm going to repeat the Ten Commandments for this new generation. And that's why the Ten Commandments are repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But here's the real reason why we've got the original set, Moses breaks. Then they're repeated a second set that Moses keeps, puts in the Ark of the Covenant. Then they're repeated again here for us in Leviticus 19. Repeated again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Here's why. People need repetition. People need repetition. We have short memories. If we hear something just once, we're not likely to remember. But if we hear it and then we hear it again, then we hear it again, then we hear it again, we're going to tend to remember it. That which we hear over and over tends to stick with us. You may have even noticed that our church services are kind of repetitious. Did you kind of notice that? I mean, we sing There might be different hymns every week, but we sing hymns, and then there's a prayer time, and we pray. And then I get up and preach, and you know every Sunday, while I might be preaching on a different topic, somewhere in there I'm going to talk about how Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried for your sins, rose again the third day. Why do we repeat so much? Because we want it to sink in. What we hear over and over and over and over again, we tend to remember. And so, God repeats the Ten Commandments four times in the Old Testament. But here's the real question we need to ask. Do we have to keep those Ten Commandments? Do we have to obey the Ten Commandments? After all, they are God's moral law. And we already looked at from verse 2, in order to be holy, we must be obedient to the Ten Commandments. But sadly, no one is able to keep the commandments perfectly. So Jesus kept them for us. Jesus died for us in our place, nailing the commandments to his cross. I love this verse out of Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So when we believe in Jesus, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we receive his provision. When we believe that Jesus did die on that cross to pay for our sins, that he was buried for our sins, that he did rise again the third day, then we receive his provision. He nailed all the Old Testament rules, regulations, laws to his cross, and we receive salvation by his grace. And so, we've seen the introduction to the Ten Commandments. We've seen repetition. Thirdly, I want us to look at addition. Moses not only repeats the Ten Commandments, I told you that he rearranges them from the original set. He repeats eight of them and he alludes to the other two missing ones. But then here in Leviticus 19, Moses adds to the Ten Commandments here. And let's go over these very briefly. In verses 9 and 10, he talks about reaping fields and vineyards. Reaping fields and vineyards. You might say, well, I don't even know if you read that. I don't know why that's important. Well, here's why it's important. This is how Ruth met Boaz, who eventually produced Jesus down the line. And so obedience to this law, right here in Leviticus chapter 19, resulted in the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow, that's really important. Then in verse 14, talks about treating of the handicapped, the blind and deaf in particular. And then verse 15, verses 33 to 34, 35 and 36, talks about practicing fairness and equality. Verse 16 talks about gossiping. Verse 17 talks about hating. Verse 18 talks about taking vengeance. Let me pause for a moment here. Vengeance is God's responsibility. In fact, we're reminded of that as New Testament Christians in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. It says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." In other words, when it comes to taking vengeance, we're not to do so. We must be patient and defer to him. And then in verse 19, it talks about mixing of animals, plants, and cloth. Verse 26 and 31 talks about using witchcraft. Verse 28 talks about cutting or printing on your skin. In verse 27 talks about trimming of your hair. And verse 32 talks about respecting the elderly. So again, as you see there, just from that very brief overview, Moses takes the Ten Commandments, he rearranges them, but he gives us the ten, eight for sure, two alluded to, and then he adds all these other ones. So, do we have to obey these other commandments? We already talked about, do we have to obey the Ten Commandments? Do we have to obey these other commandments? Well, some of these other commandments were given to set Israel apart from the other nations surrounding them. For instance, how they did their agriculture. They did it different from everybody else that lived around them. That would set them apart. How they kept their hairstyle, trimming their beards and so on. Not trimming their beards, in fact, is what it says. That would set them apart from the pagans that lived around them. So some of these were given just to set Israel apart from their pagan neighbors. But the others, the remaining other commands here expand on loving. First of all, loving God. What about that passage about witchcraft? Well, God's people are to seek God's will from God himself. We are not to use other magical, demonic means for determining God's will. And what about this stuff about cutting or printing on the skin? Cutting was actions taken on behalf of the dead in this time. Printing was showing devotion to a false deity by inscribing his or her name on your skin. These passages here have nothing to do with modern day tattoos. So these additional commandments expand on loving God and loving neighbor. How do we love our neighbor? Well, we got to love the handicapped. We need to treat each other with fairness and equality. We're not to gossip about our neighbors. We're not to express hatred towards our neighbors. We're not to take vengeance out on our neighbors. We are to respect the elderly. And so again, do we keep these additional commandments? Yeah, because they have everything to do with love. Loving God and loving others. So lastly, what's the application of all of this? How do we apply all of this? The bottom line is we are to live lives of love. That's the whole point of the Ten Commandments. We are to live lives of love. And the Ten Commandments are repeated and repeated and repeated. And the same thing every time. We are to live lives of love. Loving God and loving others. God is love, the Bible says. So when we act in love, we are acting like God. If we always act in love and with love, we will obey the intent of all of God's commandments. Hear me, my friends. Genuine Christianity is not a bunch of rules, regulations, and requirements. It's love. That's what genuine Christianity is. It's love. But so often people think, well, to be a Christian, you have to do this and you can't do that. You have to do this, you can't do that. That's not Christianity. Christianity is not rules and regulations and requirements. It's love. Let me show you this. While each commandment prohibits an action, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and so on. While each commandment prohibits an action, by implication, each commends the opposite action of love. For instance, let's go in the order of the original Ten Commandments, where it says, you shall have no other gods before me. So here's the positive. Serve God alone because you love him. Worship God in spirit and in truth because you love him. Always respect God's name because you love him. Worship on the Sabbath because you love God. Never disrespect your parents because you love them. Cherish human life because you love God who created it in his image. Be faithful to your spouse because you love him or her. Respect other people's property because you love them. Always tell the truth because you love the truth. And be content with your blessings because you love God who gave them to you. So again, you can look at the Ten Commandments as all kinds of negatives. Can't do this, can't do that, can't do the other. All you got to do is flip it around and show it has everything to do with love. So here's the bottom line this morning. You are loved. Every one of you is loved. God loves you. God loves you. You are loved. Here's the question I have for you. Are you loving? You are loved. Are you loving? Are you loving God? And are you loving others? You are loved, but think about it. Are you loving God? Remember that man came to Jesus. What's the first commandment? He said, love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. He said, the second one, just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. You are loved. You say, well, Brother Gary, how do I know that God loves me? How do I know that? God loves you so much. He sent his only son to die for you and to rise again so that you could spend eternity with him. Catch that. God loves you because he wants to spend forever with you. My wife doesn't even want to spend Saturday afternoon with me. God wants to spend forever with you. Forever. You are loved. But are you loving? Are you loving God in return? Are you loving your neighbor as you love yourself? So this morning, we had a very long introduction to the Ten Commandments because I wanted to emphasize just how important they are. You might come from that school of thought, you're a Christian, but you say, no, that's Old Testament. We don't do Old Testament. We just do New Testament. You couldn't be more wrong. The Old Testament and the Ten Commandments in particular are still valid today as they always have been. Secondly, we looked at repetition. Well, why are the Ten Commandments repeated four times over and over and over and over? Because people forget. We have short memories. And God is emphasizing, this is important, so I'm going to repeat it again and again and again. And after repetition, we looked at application. How do we apply this to our lives? We apply the Ten Commandments by loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. As I mentioned, you are loved. There's no question. You are loved. Are you loving God? And are you loving one another? The invitation this morning is quite simple. Since you are loved, receive God's love. Invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior. Believe that he died, was buried, and rose again from the dead for you. Receive Christ as Savior. And if you've already received Christ as your Savior, think about how you're treating others. Maybe you're not acting in love. Maybe you're not treating others with love. It's time to repent of that and love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the importance of the Ten Commandments. We thank you that you repeated it over and over and over so we wouldn't forget. And yet there are those in Christendom that say, well, they don't apply. They don't count anymore. We don't need that. Oh, yes, we do. They are your word. There's nothing wrong with your word. Your word tells us what's wrong with us, and that is that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And the Ten Commandments prove that every time we look at them. So, Father, have your will and way in this time of invitation. If there's anybody here who needs to receive Christ as Savior, give them grace and faith to believe. For those of us who are not loving one another like we love ourselves, challenge us, encourage us, and help us to love others. And we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.